I'm gonna leave my window open. Should I leave my window open?
Yeah. A little fresh air wouldn't hurt anybody. That's what's gonna happen in like 5 seconds.
You're not wrong.
Sexy, spooky, bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
Merry Christmas! It's me, Johnny. Oh, wait, that's not this week.
Not this week.
I'll get there. I was just talking about how I'm bad with days and what's going on.
It almost feels like it's Thanksgiving.
Which is most certainly not on Friday. But on Thursday.
You're right. Correct. Correct on Monday.
I was just talking about, in my defense, there's only been a Thanksgiving grave ring giving every year since I was born. So I'll get there eventually. I'm just very
young.
You'll
get there.
I'm so young. I just can't
bother right now. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's not one of our favorite holidays. No. They don't make enough movies, horror movies about them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, not to mention, it's not related to celebrate us. So.
Ah, true.
But I appreciate eating a lot. One time a year, nobody can judge me for it.
Yes, you're right about that. Just off the top of your head, do you know if Mexico has a Thanksgiving? Like, do they celebrate it? What do they do? Because Canada has a Thanksgiving, but it's in the summer.
Yeah,
and then
I don't think so. Not off the top of my head. I mean, maybe everybody kind of observes this day just to eat a lot.
Yeah, there's nothing going on. They don't care, right?
No, I mean that's again, I don't know. Like who? That would be like a Spanish thing, really, to celebrate colonizing another fucking country.
Yeah, because I think British people don't give a shit about Thanksgiving either, right?
No, they weren't involved at all.
Yeah.
Europeans, yes. British people, nah.
Not like, so much.
And now, Dan Crumpets here.
They just take advantage of, like, the Black Friday, the true holiday of this year.
Big wanking telly, isn't it? You know, they say stuff like that.
Okay. It's a unique Spanish accent.
No, it's a English take advantage of Black Friday.
Yeah, take advantage of Black Friday. Yeah, I got it. I thought you were gonna say something else.
Bubbles and Squeak.
All right,
that's a real thing, by the way. Bubbles and Squeak.
I've heard of this before.
Interesting concept that all stoners that went to college just call 2 a.m. where you put all the leftover food into one big pot. You just make a meal out of it.
Yeah, it's true. Just being poor. And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing Birth, Rebirth. As always, Sean will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing The Fall of the House of Usher, Season 1, Episode 6, titled Goldbug.
Shall we just call it... I doubt there's going to be a second season.
Yeah, I was just having the same thought.
Yeah.
I'll just eliminate that from my notes. Eliminate season one.
Yeah, we will definitely get it right for the very last episode of season one.
Second to last episode. Yeah. Next week. So, right off the bat, do you think this felt like a Flanagan episode?
A little bit. It was attempting to.
So Mike Flanagan did direct this episode.
Oh, okay.
Night. It didn't feel as Flanagan as the last episode, which felt very Flanagan. But it kind of tracks, because the last bit with what's her name, redhead,
yeah,
with Tamerlan Usher, if like her whole death sequence felt like a Flanagan thing.
Her flopping on the bed and hitting the mirrors, because she fucking loves mirrors so much, because she's got that kink.
Yeah. So we had mentioned whether she partook in the activities, and apparently she did. She was involved with the like threesomes, I guess is what she wants.
I think she was cucking herself, though. I think that was the whole thing. I don't know how involved she actually... I mean, she was involved, but I think it was just her sitting in a chair, forcing her husband to sleep with all these women to pretend to be her.
Yeah. Because I could have sworn she said, like, some specifics, like, I want you to do this and her to do that.
Yes. So stuff like that. While she sat in the chair, because you saw her masturbating.
So that
was intentional. I mean, that's why the husband was like, and I hated it every single time. Like, I didn't want to do that, but I did it for you. I'm like, sure, buddy, sure.
Fine. I'll just sleep after women, after night after night after night.
All these hideously gorgeous women.
That you pay for again and again and again.
While watching this episode, it became very clear to me that we never got to know this character at all. So I felt a little disconnected the entire time. I was like, well, I mean, I feel bad for her, kind of. But I feel like you're being forced to feel bad for her.
This actress is excellent at playing this sort of character.
Yes, yeah.
You know, she tends to, in Flanagan, projects on Netflix, she seems to always pop up as this sort of character. So,
and I can't say, like, I never saw Grey's Anatomy, so I wouldn't know if she was on one season of that.
Right, yeah. She was in one of Flanagan's smaller movies.
Hush?
With Kate Siegel. Hush, yes. I've never seen that. I've been meaning to watch that. It's on my queue there on Netflix. So, I've never seen any variation of her, because she's pretty much the same character in Midnight Mass, but less religious. So pretty much the...
Yeah, she's more of a TV person. I guess she came out on Parks and Rec, but I'm not going to remember an episode from 2014, so...
No, yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I can't...
She was excellent, though, in this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's always excellent, yeah.
But, like you said, I don't think she's... We, aside from her sexual kink and insecurity of being replaced, I think.
Yeah, we just get that she's a cold person and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even we're finally starting to get more E.T. Kit Henry Thomas, more of a feel of the type of person he is now in this episode. I feel like I got more information about the character, his character. Which I know it's just him being hurt, but I feel like it's just more of him being spiteful because he thinks he's better than everybody.
Yeah, and you know, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think that we don't really know anything about these characters, and when they designed the episodes to be like, okay, well, now every episode, every kid's going to die. It's like we have there's no episodes in between where we can spend time with them, or we got to get to know them, or why they are the way they are and stuff like that. So that seems to be a flaw of the design of the show, the way it was conceptualized.
Well, because I figured every episode was going to be kind of like Perry's episode, where you did get to know him a little bit. You felt kind of bad for him because it's not his fault that he's a shitty kid. It's just, he's a product of entitlement and, you know, stuff like that. And he's another bastard kid. But everybody else, it was just like, I know nothing about this person.
Yeah, I didn't even know Kate Siegel was a publicist or like a spin person. You know what I mean? Like a publicist.
Yeah, or that... she has a hard time reacting to fake CGI chimpanzees.
Yeah. And again, one of the things that's really bugging me. No, for all intents and purposes, I did like the episode. I'm just like going through the stuff I didn't like. Is the fact that we are still dragging out who Verna is. Like, how? Why? Like,
how do they not fucking figure out who she is yet?
Well, fucking Mary McDonald's like fucking telling Roderick, you remember, you know what we did, huh? You know what we did.
Yeah,
right?
Bruce Quinn was like, nah, that sounds insane, as he talks to all his dead children every day.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck are we... Like, again, I think that's another flaw in the design of the show. You know what I mean?
So
like,
I'm going to hold out and see how this last episode wraps everything up. Maybe he's...
Oh, it's not the last episode. There's...
Sure, though. No, that's right. We got Pit in the Pendulum and then the last episode, right?
Yeah.
Just to see why he's denying it right now, because it seems like he's very aware of what is going on already, because he already attempted to commit suicide several times in the previous episode.
And I think he keeps looking at that wall, and my guess is they killed the previous manager, and he's in the wall. That's my guess.
Because that guy just disappeared. Yeah,
we haven't quite figured out what young Roderick and young Madeline have done, and then it looks like they're probably going to kill him, right? I mean, I think this episode he actually went to the copy room and started making copies of the stuff that they forged his name on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
What did you think of the I was gonna say
her insanity stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what did you think of her being this like goop-esque, you know, healthcare, you know, fit life person?
That felt kind of thrown in out of nowhere, to be honest. I was like, okay, sure, but why wasn't this brought up before? Like, I think maybe they kind of hint at it and you got to like pay attention to details, but that's like not an interesting detail at all.
Yeah, it's... I know in the background, they were always kind of working on something they were going to launch with her husband.
Yeah.
But not to any... But it was always the same... It was always the same thing. You know what I mean? It was always the same. Oh, we're getting a sex worker. Oh, we need to do this. And oh, she's mean to him. And oh, she's... You know what I mean? It was always kind of like, anytime before this episode, it was kind of like the same thing, kind of recycled.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the overall episode, it wasn't bad. I didn't hate it. But it's not going to be my favorite one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, same. Yeah, totally. I liked it. I like what they did with the episode. I like kind of her, seeing her get her comeuppance from Verna. I thought it was really well done. But yeah, I think what we're talking about is kind of like overall what the show is kind of like. This feels like an in-between episode. It doesn't really quite feel like
I'm starting to gather this series is something that you just got to binge watch. Like, it's purposely designed to be binge watched. And you know, when we wait, and it kind of like Yellow Jackets a little bit too. like we wait a week and we're like, who cares?
Yeah.
With Misty and Natalie and... Nope, that's it. I forgot all their names again. It's going to be an awful third season. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I guess also what we're talking about is the fact that the show's not like... The overarching mysteries are not progressing enough.
No.
The season-long mysteries of who Verna is.
Like that first... The Perry episode. there was so much that was involved, especially in the next episode where it was like, oh yeah, we were hiding the chemicals in this vat, blah, blah, blah. So it felt like this overall conspiracy to like really nail them and like destroy the company with all their secrets. And I feel like every episode from that point on, not really, just they're shitty people. That's it. Like, okay, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just I saw this show called Midnight Mass, and holy shit, it was so good.
Well, I feel like that was like a labor of love for him. That was like something he'd been trying to make for years and years and years and years. So it's like he had a very clear plan and idea of how he wanted to do it as a TV show. This one feels like he created it. He had a cool idea and made it within a few years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wasn't like something he kind of just like was trying to like make for years. Cause I think Midnight Mass, that name ends up on a book in Gerald's Game.
Oh,
it says Midnight Mass on it. And so it's like something he's clearly been working on and forever and stuff like that.
I mean, what else should we say about this episode?
Good episode, even though we're kind of like not super crazy about it. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really solid, another solid episode. But
yeah, yes. I don't know if it's just me being kind of disconnected to the series now. I'm just kind of starting to slowly be like, yeah, it's okay, it's good, it's good, it's good.
Yeah, and they did set up that Henry Thomas was kind of being shitty with his wife. I think he's gonna try to kill her. Or he did kill her?
I think he is purposely trying to see how he's torturing her.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
And I'm going to guess that because he's taking the same shit at the same time for funsies, that he is going to, because they set up that she admits that she's aware of what's going on around her. She just can't move. So he's going to inoculate himself by accident, and there's going to be something slowly that is like progressing down towards him, like the Pit in the Pendulum story.
Right.
And he will eventually die that way because he drugged himself by accident.
No, yeah, absolutely. And one thing to note is that the first episode started with a funeral, but I thought it was a funeral for all the kids, but it was only for the adopted kids. It wasn't for all of them, which we saw a scene. We saw a scene with them all meeting in a bar, so like we're already past that point.
Oh, that's right.
I just wanted to point that out, that like we're past the point of the first episode already, and but we don't know, but I do believe all the other kids are dead when he's talking to the other actor, what's his name, when they were back in his home, where he's basically narrating all their deaths.
Oh yeah, the Augustine, Carl Lumbly's character, right?
Yeah, that whole thing, that's the furthest in the future I believe we are, because I think they're all dead by that point.
There was a lot of giving Mark Hamill's character backstory, which I thought was kind of funky, like this whole like it was real important to point out how he is the guy that would know the one guy on Earth that could do anything basically, and I keep wondering why they keep bringing him up. I'm like, is he dead? Does he owe something to Verna as well? I don't know.
I feel like the way I interpreted that was that they're going to set up some sort of conflict between Verna and him. Like, he's going to find Verna and they're going to have some sort of meet or confrontation.
Because I also wonder if they set up that whole, he was the only person that survived some sort of expedition where
right.
he saw some of the weirdest shit on Earth nobody would ever believe.
Wasn't that made up? Isn't the implication is that he made that up? Or that's what they say about him?
Maybe. I think that's what they think of him. Like, there's no way. I'm wondering if he is somebody that could be like, oh, I know what Verna is. I've dealt with this before.
Right. Yeah. There's also that as well. They kind of insinuate that as well. You're right.
Like, maybe he'll go into, like, a cave and then he'll see something sticking out of the ground and he'll pick it up and he'll press a button and this like blue beam will pop out of it and stop at a certain point. I think that's what's going to happen actually.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
I will say, this episode was really good. I think doing, what's her name? The previous episode was so fucking fantastic. Victorine's episode was so fucking awesome that this was like a little underwhelming.
Because it's a character we don't know. Plus, she's incredibly unlikable.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even Victorine was unlikable too, but like, I think it's just...
There was more conflict with her, right?
I guess there was... Yeah, there was more... Oh, man, I don't want to say this, but I might have to. The acting was just there. It was way better.
Better. Like, it was on point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her last little monologue, I thought, was one of the highlights of the show so far.
It might be the highlight of the show is what I'm going to gather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was fantastic.
Yeah, and she just has that, whatever, color gelled light shining through the window. And that's like all pretty much the extent of it. It's pretty bare.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really just focused on her monologue. And it's excellent. So, alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts?
No, just we're close to the end of Fadao.
Fadao, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see, you know, how they wrap it up. I think it's gonna be good. You know, I'm pretty sure they're all gonna get some sort of ending, so, or death.
Yeah, that's my guess too.
Yep.
My guess is all the kids die. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, it's literally in the title, huh? Like, yeah. The fall of the House of Usher. So.
That's what you get. Like, hey, just stick to, you know, shushing people. If they talk too much during performance, you know, cutting tickets, passing out popcorn. That's what ushers do.
That's what ushers do. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Let's move over to our main review of Birth Rebirth. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
I sure do, but I'm going to give you a little story beforehand.
Oh, okay.
When I was in, you know, insert grade here, because I don't remember, but definitely in elementary. Okay. I'm going to say between the grades of kinder and second. We had a spelling test, which I did not study for, and I would just sound out the words and spell it out that way because I figured out how to do that pretty early on. I had a front tooth missing.
Ah.
Which would make things problematic when trying to sound out words. So my THs were not there. They would become Fs. So we had a spelling test for the TH words. And of course, I ended all the words with F, and they had to call in my parents to be like, hey, I think he just needs to actually study for the test, but he didn't do anything. Like, this could have been right, but yeah. I just want you to see it because it's kind of funny. Yeah, I spelled all the words with F, which is why when I give you the 5-word plot summary for Birth Rebirth, I will say it that way.
Fact about John, he hasn't replaced that tooth. His fake teeth.
No. It became my identity. Yeah.
In fact, you have wood teeth like George Washington as your mouth.
Trying to go green.
Sorry, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny. 5 words. Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. For Birth Rebirth, coming in at number 3, sponsored by Stem Cell Research.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for Birth Rebirth, Marin keeps losing her kids. Because this will be the 4th movie we've reviewed with Miss Marin in it. Coming in at number 1 for Birth Rebirth, Frankenbabe, Pig in the City.
That's a good one. Excellent.
Oh, man. We just I guess I never realized what a horror scream queen Maren Ireland is.
Yeah, she was in, well, I just recognized her from The Boogeyman, right?
The Boogeyman.
Unique fate looking face. I was like, okay, well, yeah, The Boogeyman.
The Dark and the Wicked.
Oh, shit, no shit. We didn't like that movie.
Not too much. The Empty
Man.
We weren't
very high on it. It's the fuck, dude. No way. Umbrella Academy.
No, yeah, I don't remember that character. I think she's one of the time people. Not one of the assassins, but I think she works in the thing, I think.
She was in The Irishman.
Yeah, her last name's Ireland. I'm just kidding.
She was in Girls.
Oh,
remember that?
Perfect,
your favorite show.
That show was so good. Yeah, it was great. Good shit.
Feminist Rachel Forbes. Getting married. Yeah, she's been around a minute. I've seen that one. And Revolutionary Road, I've seen.
Yeah, born in Camarillo, California.
She's been here a minute. But yeah, I guess in the last 5 years, she's been in some really excellent horror movies. John, what do you think? Is this an excellent horror movie?
Oh, I was going to say, I'm wondering if we're on the same page about this one. I was reading some of the reviews, and I have to agree with some of them. I mean, this is not a scary movie. This is not something that's going to, like, keep you up at night. Maybe. I don't know. You know, like, compared to, like, a movie like It, it's not going to frighten you.
Okay. Yeah.
But I have to say, I thought this movie was really fucking beautiful. There was something just very gorgeous and very... It was so well done, in my opinion. Like, some of the more negative reviews, I'm like, I don't think you knew what you were watching, because this movie was brilliant, I thought. I actually rewatched it. I didn't finish it this time around. Like, I had like 20 minutes left. But it was also one of those things where I was like, I don't know if I can watch the last 20 minutes again, because the way it ends, I'm like, oh man, fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting though, the cold open of this movie, I was like, how is this working out? Because I hate to say it, but Judy Dayes' voice is so recognizable. So it's like,
yeah.
You know,
so, yeah.
Yeah. What would you think?
I'm going to look at IMDb review by The Real Jay Smoke, who says, what a shocker, I loved it. So well said, The Real Jay Smoke. Yeah, no, I actually thought this movie was fucking great. And it's I think I like that it's set up as like, oh, it's a Frankenstein, it's a, you know, Frankenstein story.
Yeah.
But the way they have it, the way the story is between two women, and how their dynamic and how they deal with the quote unquote birth rebirth of is it okay to give away what happens here? It's in the trailer.
I mean, I think it's the point of the movie. Yeah. I think the twist at the end, or if you can call that a twist, what happens at the end, I think, is what spoils anything.
Yeah.
Because it's a confusing cold open.
It's a purposely confused cold open, and I saw a dead baby, and I was like, perfect. This is totally a Skeleton Du Bois movie. So
put that sucker in the oven. Let's go.
Let's go. Light it up. But yeah, no. And I love that dynamic, their relationship. It almost seemed like they immediately set up a kind of home life with each other.
Yes.
You know, which I thought was really cool. And then sort of the links of trying to keep her daughter alive, and then believing in the morgue technician or whoever, you know, character to keep her alive, and what they were doing with it and stuff like that. And
yeah. And also, like, the doctor, Maren's character is, what was her name? Rose, I think?
Rose, yeah.
Very cold person, but because she was obsessed with reanimating life, or obsessed with creating life, something to that degree. So when they create that home, that family sort of, you know, where the, you know, they're both moms now and some sort of respect.
Right.
And when you find out how Rose is actually able to create this regeneration process, I mean, it really is kind of like her DNA as well. You see her understanding what it really is to be a part of a family. So you get the idea that her mom was just kind of a funky person.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely the type of character who's like disconnected from her humane side. She's more like you said, like scientific minded, you know, more interested in like the science of things. And she kind of carries that out, which I guess at some point in her life, she becomes obsessed with, you know, wanting to regenerate, you know, people or human tissue or whatever, right? She goes to extremes to kind of like bring people back to life.
Like, yeah, jerking off dudes in the restroom.
Yeah. Jerking off dudes in the restroom, yeah. As you do. Yeah, no, I knew I was already not going to like her because she ordered a Cobb salad and like canceled all the things in the Cobb salad.
Yeah, yeah. So. She basically only ate lettuce and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. So she has no qualms about cutting open flesh and seeing how it works and doing stuff like that. But she refuses to eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, what kind of a fucking psycho watches like gory, like people that watch gory movies and then they're vegan? Are you fucking... What's your problem, John? I mean,
yeah, weirdo. No, and I like the contrast in the Judy Reyes obviously plays. What was she like, a nurse? Right, she was like a
which is wild. Nurse. Like, I don't think she's ever played like a nurse role before, so it was interesting.
Yeah, I think it's perfect because she like plays. She's the opposite. She's very grounded and very much more like empathetic.
Yeah,
because she loses her daughter, and in a very like sad way.
Yes,
that whole scene at the beginning of her losing her daughter is just, it hit hard enough to where it's like, just because it's realistic in what how it's portrayed in the film.
Yeah,
so I mean that
it's
definitely
so sad, like not her fault whatsoever, but just that feeling of she wasn't there for her daughter while she was dying.
Yeah,
because she had to go work. And she's a single mom. I mean, not even, there's no dad. She got herself pregnant through like a clinic.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the series of events that lead up to it is tragic. It's really sad. And so like you can kind of understand her when she doesn't get the closure. Right?
Yeah.
Because of her own mistakes. And so she starts seeing what Rose is doing and then following her. And then, you know, basically this mystery is opened by the fact that the morgue has lost her child's body. So that kind of like leads her down that hole where she finally meets up with Rose and stuff like that. And Rose kind of explains who she is and what she's doing. So
I will say, I feel like, man, I hate to say this, because this is like a very, there's what, like one male character in this entire movie, I think? The guy that...
The jerk-off guy?
Oh, yeah, two. So? I'm sorry, two. I forgot about the jerk-off guy. Which that guy did a great job, by the way. Like, I did, like, playing just very like pathetic and like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have fucking said anything. I'm stupid. Rose's co-worker. Oh, and yeah, the guy that brings the body to the morgue. But other than that, like I did think one of the female characters was like very poor. Like, I hate to say it, but Anjali Lakshmi.
What did she play?
Well, it's just like her trying to be an American pig. Just, I wasn't buying it. Like, I wasn't buying she was an American pig.
Yeah.
Her squeals were like definitely not, you know, Brooklyn style. You know?
So So I mean, of course, like we find out that she has a live-in pig because that was like her first thing she regenerated. And then I think that she was trying to like doing humans now, and she had used she had stole her daughter's body from the morgue. And you know, what's her face finds out? Her mom. I think it's interesting that there's something to be said about the fact the way they're regenerating them, and the fact that like, and it's kind of like the conflict of the movie. It's like, even though her daughter is quote unquote alive, she's not really alive.
No.
And for one, I don't think there's, you know, they hadn't quite figured out what the science was, and if she,
I think,
is regenerated in this way, then she's not really her daughter. You know what I mean? Well, that's like the conflict of it.
I think they were getting there. They were close to that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like with the pig. Because a pig ended up being like a normal pig after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the child was getting to that point, was trying to recognize her mother, was trying to recognize certain things. I'm not sure if it's a spoiler to say that the child at one point kills the pig, like stabs the pig to death. And I think that is her like rudimentary, if that's the right word, I'm probably wrong. Just, you know, burn me in the comments. I don't give a fuck. instincts were there again. Like at the very beginning of the movie, she talks about like, I have a secret to tell you. You're not paying enough attention to me. So she wants all the attention. So she gets angry at this pig and kills it.
Yeah. Very like doesn't have the functions yet of a,
but those are coming, that's what I mean, like those started popping up more. So I think the more that they were able to like induce these like essentially stem cells, I would say it was regenerating all that part of her brain, and she was coming back slowly. It was just as Rose was saying, like it was coming back too fast. And I think when Rose finally ruined her uterus to a certain extent, and like she couldn't, you know, have birth anymore, because that was kind of fucked up. Like she jerks off that guy in the bathroom just to take his semen, because she knows it's like good, and she makes herself pregnant just to like force out an embryo to use that for the cells again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god, that's fucking hardcore,
horrifying.
And also because when she goes to the doctor and she's like, oh, is this your first time getting pregnant? She's like, no. And then she like just gets her clothes and walks out. So like she's been doing this.
Yeah, this is like her fourth time, in that she said around there. So did you ever listen or watch This American Life?
No.
So do you know what it is though? Like it's an NPR show.
Yeah, like that. I've heard of it. Yeah,
it's kind of like storytelling. He basically, there's this Ira Glass. People send him stories, and then he like dramatizes or reads them and stuff like that. And they're usually like very interesting. They're very like about, and he had done a show called This American Life, so people in America were writing in stories and he would read them, and a little quirky, sometimes funny, sometimes sad stories and stuff. And there is one episode he did that I think they used to air on Showtime, because they'd make like a small TV show about it. And there was one episode where they talked to the guy who cloned a cow. And I always remembered this episode because I thought it was really interesting, fascinating. I think it kind of ties in with the movie, is that the guy who cloned the cow, he loved his cow or something like that. He loved the bull. It was like a bull or cow or something like that. And he loved it. It was like a prize-winning bull and stuff like that. So when but I think it died or, you know, something along those lines. But actually, it didn't die. He wanted to make another one. So but in the process, he was able to clone it. And I think it did pass away soon after, so he had the clone, but the clone copy, it's exact genetically DNA, the exact same bull, but it didn't have any of the experiences or remembers anything about him. So it was violent towards him, even though it was still genetically the same bull. So I think he had done, like, he used to like walk him through whatever the holding cells, and like had this close, you know, very close relationship with it. And so he tried to do the same thing, but I think it like would attack him all the time. It stabbed him several times, like in his kidneys, and like stepped on his balls and all these other like details, because it didn't know who the fuck it was.
This sounds like an excuse all of a sudden. It sounds like he was getting into some stuff.
I think it's interesting that like, even though what I got from it was like, even though we can make a clone of somebody, every experience after that clone is produced is gonna spirally be different from me. So it's gonna end up being its own individual person, even though it may genetically look like me. Does that kind of make sense?
I get that, yeah. Oh, that, yeah, that's an interesting... but I would say this is not a clone, right? But it is.
No.
They are genetically modifying her DNA by introducing her cells and stuff like that to regenerate the tissue.
Yeah, and it had all of the looks, and it was, they were able to bring life with the embryos and all those other things. They were able to bring life to her, but they didn't have, they couldn't get the, I don't know, what is that part of the brain or memories to remember or like behave a certain way. They would have like these small successes, right?
Just remember that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. You're welcome.
What's that? What's that?
So that's our review of that's kidding. that's why I think like it's interesting the way they present this. Also the way it was shot, like the way it was directed was fucking superb. Everything felt, I feel like most of the time when people try to attempt to make movies that are shot and directed this way, it feels very voyeuristic, and this one feels like you're there, like you are having this sense of urgency, you're having this sense of pain, like these characters, well, I mean, Rose kind of is doing something wrong, right? She's kind of playing God, but everything they're doing the best decision they can possibly come up with according to what they want, right? Mm-hmm. And everything that happens in between is not their fault. Like, when Rose collapses because her anemic episode like causes her to become infertile or like whatever happens to her uterus, Celie was like at home and was trying to figure out where she was at because she was concerned, right? Because at this point, I think they have a relationship. They're both parents at this point together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clear when Celie sends her, right before she has that episode, her anemic episode, sends her a photo of something that her daughter did a year before. Like, oh, she made this last year. And she just like is beaming, like smiling super wide enough to where her coworker's like, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, why? She's like, you're smiling. And she's like, huh? Mm-hmm. And then when she gets up and she realizes like she has a forced period again, which is not good, shortly after she forced herself to produce that embryo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very interesting that they took the approach of like, again, like they start a relationship. They're like, you know, parents to...
Yeah, there was... I feel like there was only one moment of humor in the entire movie, and it was when Celie calls the hospital like, hey, where's Rose, blah blah blah, and the guy is like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think I'm allowed to tell you or divulge that information. And she goes, I live with her. And the guy's like, oh okay. Like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Do you have any other thoughts, or do you want to get into spoilers?
We can get into spoilers. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. It's
hell of a spin.
Yeah, so let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So what happened at the end, John? Tell me.
My thing is, there was an opportunity for Celie to force herself to become pregnant and ruin her uterus in the process.
I was going to say, why did they ever think that?
But I think it needed to be done immediately, right? And yeah. I thought it was a very kind of special moment where Rose tells her, hey, I just want you to know I did everything I could. And Celie was like, no, it's fine. Like, you're going to figure it out. You always do. And she's like, I just want you to know that. And she leaves. And then the next time they talk, she said, I think you should stay with your daughter. Just stay with her from here on out. I don't think you should go to work anymore because it's going to be too soon. And Sally actually takes that to heart and stays with her daughter and understands that her daughter's passing away in her arms, and she gets to be there for her that time. And I think it's like this, like, she was never going to forgive herself, even though none of that was her fault. And she could have lived her entire life, you know, just fucking hating herself and wanting to die. But she finally had that moment, and it was special to her because she knew it was goodbye, but in her head, like, but just for now, because we can figure this out. It's fine. So she puts her daughter in that freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been, like, kind of conditioning that new mom.
Yeah. And that's a fucked up part.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, this is getting fucking nuts. Like, I don't even think she really explained to Rose exactly what she was doing, but Rose was kind of like, okay. Which, in a weird sense, I don't know if this was intentional. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but it feels like Rose was playing kind of more like the father role, like this, like, kind of stoic, slightly cold, but, you know, every once in a while, like, starts to lighten up, like, oh, my God. Almost like the dad that doesn't want the cat, you know, and then all of a sudden is obsessed with the cat.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that Instagram video.
Rolando doesn't understand that because Rolando was the one that wanted the cat.
It's true, I did.
So she, I mean, I'm not comparing the daughter to like an animal, but like that sort of feeling where she's like, oh, this is my daughter too now, kind of, you know, like,
She's attached to it. Yeah, even though she's been kind of like cold about feeling things and stuff like that, she keeps everybody at distance, very, you know, I don't know, science first type of personality.
But she's like telling Sally like personal stories about herself that nobody probably knows. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, very sweet. So I think she just allowed Sally to do what she was going to do because she knew she wasn't going to be able to stop her. And Sally finds this woman who had already gone to a different hospital, fucking drugs her.
Well, they were harvesting her for her whatever in her that she needed. She needed something from her, a pregnant woman's, I don't know,
a baby embryo or something.
Like they needed something, some sort of fluid. She needed also, like, when the baby was born, she needed the, what is it? What's that stuff that, like, plasma and all that other shit? Yeah. And plus,
Well, placenta only comes out the first birth, so. And it was her first time. Yeah, that's right.
Was her first time, yeah.
They said this was the first time they made it this far. Yeah.
Yeah. And they, yeah, they needed to, like, they were basically harvesting her for being pregnant.
Yeah.
And then,
before she gave birth. Yep.
And they needed her, they needed certain things after the birth, too, so they could harvest that and keep the daughter alive for a year or something along those lines, right? Like, it was supposed to be like a big deal. So, yeah. And so, like, it didn't occur to me she was the dead woman with the baby.
I kind of figured that out when it hit that to that point, because I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense for the beginning now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think I thought before I figured out that was a flash forward, that was something happening in real time, and that was like part of whatever Judy Reyes' job, you know. But I never made that connection at first, and then once they, you know, showed the scenes and stuff, I was like, oh, okay, got it.
Where she induced the birthing.
Mm-hmm. She induced the birthing. The baby died. The birthing. That's like something that comes out of your mouth. I burfed.
Yeah, you burf a child just to burf it later, so it doesn't have gas.
Yeah.
So that's the way that ends.
What happens? We're kind of left with like a POV shot of the daughter. So I guess they went through with it.
Yeah, I think so. They just like reanimated the daughter again. And I gotta admit, like, even though I knew that was gonna happen, lingering on that as the last shot was like her going like hello baby, was pretty fucking hard hitting for some reason. That was like the most horrific part of the movie. It was a little bit terrifying somehow. It, like, I'm sure it leaves people thinking like, what the fuck did I just watch? That this like roller coaster of intense.
Yeah, and I love the idea that for them to make life, they had to like take life away, you know, precious life, you know what I mean? Like children or like babies and pregnant women, which is very taboo, right? And
One of the worst things about it too was, so her child dies from meningitis, right? Mm-hmm. And she had, because she knew her daughter was sick and she was late for work, it was one of those things where like she overslept because she was so exhausted. And she's trying to get her daughter to get up and she's like, no, I feel sick. And she's like, I heard that one before. And she tries to kiss her daughter in the forehead and she's like, oh shit, my daughter is sick.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to her neighbor, Pauline. Says, hey, can you watch her? She's sick. And of course, her neighbor's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's fine. And her daughter's being kind of difficult about the whole thing because she's sick. She's just a little girl. And, you know, Sally is just like, all right, fine. If you're going to be like that, I'm just going to walk away. So that's what she's got to remember being her last moments with her daughter being alive. And this series of events where she's trying to talk to her on the phone, but the hospital just keeps losing signal. She's like peeing and she drops her fucking phone in the toilet so it stops working. And then when she finally makes it to the hospital and finds out her daughter's dead because she's sitting next to Pauline and they think that that's her daughter and they're telling her like, I'm so sorry about your daughter. And it's just like this, it's focused on Sally, but you see Pauline behind her talking to the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's, you know, if you've been with her for X amount of time, you might have it too, but here, just take this pills and it'll 100% cure it. So it was something that could have been completely avoided, but it's just, she has to sit there and she's just like staring at the television in the hospital, you know, dumbfounded. And Pauline is just trying to like, be like, hey, you want to go home, blah, 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 this. And she's like, no, you can leave. She's like, no, you shouldn't be alone. And just like that sad anger of her going like, fuck off, Pauline. And Pauline is just like, oh, answer the pills and walks away. The movie's just really sad.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it was done in a way that was what you're describing is done just in a way where it's like you could have done something, but you made all the wrong choices.
Yeah,
and we don't know you're making the wrong choices yet until like she's just thinking like, well, I gotta go to work. She's pretending you're sick, but the child does say early on that you don't pay attention to me. So there's a little truth to that. And she knew, it's almost like the daughter knew like, no, I don't want to, like, this is like, I don't want to, you know, stay here. Cause I know it's, you know what I mean? Like she was too sick. She wants her mother. So and she wasn't maternal. She kind of just pushed her away. So.
Yeah, it did suck, but she was also a single mom, intentionally a single mom. And just, now, I'm not saying like you need a father or like, and you know, you just need help when, you know, especially if you're a nurse, because that's not an easy job and you don't get paid very much, to be quite honest. And you do like a job like that and it's long hours.
Yep. Sad. It's very sad. Those moments are like horrifying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have the traditional scare, jump scares built into it, but it's things that are relatable, that are horrifying, plus all of the other things they're doing that Rose is doing is horrifying, and the ending is horrifying. So it's I could see how people can misconstrue.
But it's like such a beautiful maternal take on Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, I think only it doesn't surprise me that a woman wrote this.
Laura Moss, yeah, fuck yeah, she fucking killed it. I hate to say it, but like I understood the angry black girl and her monster, that Frankenstein version.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, cool, it's about racism, but clearly written by a dude. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it just wasn't well thought out. Like,
yeah,
not like this. This was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, all the pieces of it were there. Very, very, very smart, very mature, thoughtful direction and writing. What else has she done? I'm just curious. Nothing else, huh?
I think that I recognize.
No, she's a production designer, John. You worked with her?
Nah, she doesn't do LA stuff, it looks like, so.
Oh, yeah, New York? Yeah, I'm a doubt check.
No, I am an IATSE, so I'm an IATSE West.
You just pushed up your glasses like you're snobby about it.
Pushed up my glasses and my fucking dick user Carhartt shirt. And...
Yeah, I mean, this looks like this is her first feature, so I think she did a brilliant TV. Yeah, it was excellent. What a absolute stunning debut. Made by Laura Moss, excuse me. Alrighty. You want to rate this?
Yeah, we could, because my last thoughts are it's a very beautiful movie, and I'm ashamed that...
You're a man.
That I'm a man. And that I was also tricked into watching the trailer for Madam Web because my co-host here made me watch that trash.
Yeah, you're welcome, John. I like to keep you in the loop of what's happening, what's hot in pop culture.
Hot in trash pop culture.
Not to go on a tangent, but I legitimately think... I sent it to you only because it looked like trash. I sent it to you only because Adam Scott said it.
Yeah, and he's playing Ben Parker. That might be the only good Ben thing Parker. About it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, that's the spinoff I want. Young Ben Parker Adventures. That's the Disney Plus show they should be making.
Yeah.
So, and at some point he's supposed to hook up with Marissa Tomei, so.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, rom-com. This is a rom-com, guys. Let it be. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Rebirth 9.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I think that's correct too. I think I'll also do 9 sexy spooky bones as well.
Because it's hard to give something a 10. Like, it's got to be something, but this is pretty fucking
close. Like, was this Talk to Me? I felt Talk to Me was... That's the bar for this year, I believe. In terms of, like, I gave it a 10. I don't think you did, but for... I don't remember what you gave it, but...
I gave it a pretty high score, though. I did enjoy the shit out of it. But it's such a different type of horror movie. I don't know. Like, this is just beautiful. This is like,
what's her face? That's always in horror movies that we watch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to think of too. Like,
Rebecca Hall.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I thought of when we were watching. I was like, this is like a Rebecca Hall horror movie. Except, yeah. I don't know. Something about it was honestly better. It was just such a beautiful movie. And
yeah.
This might be the first time I see Marin Ireland like really, really act, I think. Maybe. I think every other character is just kind of run of the mill, or she's just like, oh, she's crazy, or, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was like, wow, she's so good. Like, her and Judy Reyes working off of each other was so, so good. Like, the choices they made, like, every time she was going to tell a lie, she would look down to the left, which is like a tell sign, you know, mm-hmm. because she doesn't have social cues. And Judy Reyes' choices whenever she would be saying things, like she gets in an elevator because she's talking to her daughter, like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And Mary's like, this is going down. And she's like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, why are we going down? Hey, honey, I can't hear. And she's clearly not talking to anybody on the phone. I don't know if, not to ruin the magic of movies, but she's not talking
Damn
to
you, John. Damn you.
It's just really good.
Excellent movie. Yeah, I'll give it 9 as well. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky and birthing.